Good morning, good morning. We like to see you smile. Good morning, good morning. We'll make your life worthwhile. The parklet is perking as you rub your eyes. Awaken now and listen, we'll play as you arise. Good morning, let's go, it's time to start. Good morning, this comes right from the heart. Our music's still off and it's played to banish all your care. Good morning, breakfast club is on the air.
Good morning.
Morning!
Mighty glad to see you around the breakfast table of the air this morning, Monday, December 6th, 1937, to start another week of breakfast clubbing with us. Our chief steward, Walter Blaufuss, and all the breakfasteers are much in evidence. So is Annette King, Jack Baker, the Hollywood High Hatters, and your toastmaster, Don McNeil. Who knows?
Fine. How are you?
Just well. Nice seeing you here again.
Boy, it's nice to be back, too. I'll guarantee you that.
You'll guarantee me that, huh?
Yeah.
Is that one of those gold-edge guarantees, Jack?
That's right, yes. I used to know a fella down that ran a store, and the guy would come in and say, "Is this guaranteed?" And he'd say, "Yeah, but my guarantee's not worth a doggone."
That's all right. That's cute.
Whoa.
Guy that just laughed at you?
Yeah.
Well, he said, Spiegel said to one of the boys here in the orchestra, I think it was Chester Figueroa, who lost his razor this morning. Now, who stole Chester's razor? Huh? If you see anybody with an edge on, that's the guy. Anyway, Al Spiegel said to Chester, he said, "Say, lend me $5, will you?" He said, "Really, I'll promise you on the word of a gentleman to pay it back tomorrow." Chester said, "Okay, bring the gentleman around, let me see him."
Oh, boy.
Pretty cute, wasn't it?
Say, Don, you remember the? You remember when the ranch boys and we were all talking about the crazy signs we saw on the road?
Yeah.
Well, here are a couple of kind of cute ones want to hear them. Sent in from Roselle, New Jersey.
Just love it.
Fried clams dancing.
Oh, I see. I was outside of a dance hall.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Well, let me see. Here's another one. Buy here and save two brothers.
Buy here and save two brothers.
For motor trouble, stop greasing.
What?
For motor trouble, stop greasing.
Well, that's
wanted Spiegel. Boy to open oysters 18 years old.
What?
Wanted a boy to open oysters 18 years old.
Oysters.
Oh, yeah. Hey, here's one more good one.
That's probably where the two brothers work. One opened oysters and the other opened oysters.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Here's one more good one. Eat a good home-cooked meal and fill up with gas.
Okay, Jay. You're going to sing. The reason I brought up this money question, you're going to sing a number called "There's a Gold Mine in the Sky," aren't
you? That's right.
Well, you don't need to look in the sky. You know, Jack's voice has been in the sky. You know, Jack's voice has been in the sky. You know, Jack's voice when I looked in the mirror, he thinks in the United States Treasury, don't you, Jack? Okay. The golden voice tenor. There's a gold mine in the sky.
There's a gold mine in the sky far away. We will find it, you and I, some sweet day. There There'll be clover just for you down the line, where the skies are always blue, pal of mine. Take your time, all of you, I know you're growing late, but you'll pasture in the stars when we strike that claim, and we'll set up there and watch the world roll by. When we find that long lost gold mine in the sky, far away, far away, we will find that long lost gold mine some sweet day, and we'll say hello to friends who've said goodbye. When we find that long lost gold mine in the sky, far away, far away, in a lost time.
Nice going, Jackie, my boy. There's a gold mine in the sky. And that's where the prices are, too. Well, sir, the temperature in Chicago is 15 degrees above zero this morning.
Ooh.
It's a capital B-double-R-R-R-R morning here. Really a kind of a cold one. And over the weekend, as much as I saw of it, we had a little snow yesterday. Spent most of it in Pittsburgh there. As I told you Saturday, I was going there and really had a swell time. We had a great program with a lot of stars that came up to help the proceedings along and collected a lot of money for the Milk Fund to help the undernourished kiddies around there. Certainly had a splendid time, as shown me by A.E. Nelson, the manager of KDKA, and all his associates there. Really a pleasure to do it. And tripped back again and came back here. Find it very cold in Chicago.
Don, did you have some of my whisk away and soda?
Pardon?
Did you have some of my whisk away and soda?
Milk, just milk.
Oh, excuse me.
For the milk fund, you say.
Oh.
Say, it would have helped me get there to Pittsburgh,
well, of course,
though. Yeah, that's what you meant.
You'd only let me know.
Yeah, I mean, the ride was pretty long, but that way it wouldn't have taken any time, would it? Yeah, we do it a lot faster here on the Breakfast Club. All right, and now we have something here by Walter Blothus. Oh, I see, Wally. No, I get the reason now for all these little sticks and hammers and things that have been flying around the studio. It's a rumba. It's La Cucaracha.
Thank you.
indeed. That was La Cucaracha by Carlos Lafas and his Tango Bonimba Orchestra. Say, Chester, I'm going to help you find that razor, my friend. I've been going down the list of suspects here. We'll kind of check them off now as we go along, Chester. See if we can find out who swiped your razor this morning. I don't think you need to worry. I think you'll find it somewhere. I don't think it's gone permanently. Now, let's see. First of all, that man behind you, Bill Short. I don't know. He isn't shaved very well. I think we'll cross him off the list. Don't think he took it. Frankie Papilla, you might search his accordion. Search his accordion before you get through. Bo Bramall. He uses a straight edge, nothing else. Couldn't be Bo Bramall. Although he might have it hidden in the shoes. All right. Do your feet take up all that room in there? They do, huh? All right. See, Walter Bloffus. No, it couldn't be Walter. No. He couldn't take any time off for meetings. It couldn't be Walter. Carl Fossa. I don't know. Carl's got an open face, though. I don't think he took it. Jack Boss. It couldn't be Jack Boss. Well, it might be. It's that. You're sure you, Jack? Don't shave it. That's right. Cute little cupid Boss hasn't got anything to shave. That's true. Well, let's see. We've dispensed with the front row. We'll get to the next row after a while. Have you any suspicions, Chester? Come on up here to the microphone, Chester. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the condemned man. I mean, here is the man whose razor was swiped this morning. Now, we want to find this. We want to get this thing right down to the ground.
Well, I think it'll take about a couple of days to find out.
Well, Chester, explain to me, where were you on this morning? How did you happen to lose it? How did you notice? When did you notice it was gone?
Well, someone opened the locker.
How do you know that? Was the door open when you got
open,
here?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, the locker was open when you got here?
That's right.
And the razor was gone?
Gone, yeah.
Was there any evidence at all? Any card left from the razor? Anything?
No, nothing.
Nothing at all? Did you search for fingerprints?
Not yet, no.
Not yet. Well, who do you suspect, Chester?
Well, I better not say yet.
You do definitely suspect somebody here, though, don't you? In this group?
Well, I don't know.
You can speak with an open mind now, Chester. It's quite all right.
We'll find out in about 2 days.
Find out in 2 days, huh? Why do you make that always 2 days? You're going to have a long beard by then, you know. Why don't you find out today?
Well,
then you're sure. Give him 2 days, and if he comes down shaved, he's the guy.
That's right.
Okay, Chester. We'll help you along with this thing, Chester. Just sit tight. Everything's going to be all right. Pretty bad a guy loses his razor this time in the morning.
Why? Terrible.
Yeah. It was an electric one, I might explain for everybody. Not the kind I use. Wouldn't be much difference if somebody did take mine. Okay, but here are the Hollywood high-hatters. You don't plead guilty to this charge, do you?
No razor.
No, it wasn't Ruthie.
No, I wasn't looking at Ruthie. Okay, what are you going to think?
Well, we got a medley for you this morning, Don. One of these last minute affairs. This is Posen and Life of the Party.
Posen and the Life of the Party.
Posen. Posen.
Here's a dance you all can do. Let us introduce you to
Posen. Everybody pose. Get a partner, then begin. Oh, whatever pose you're in. Posing, everybody pose.
Do, 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 do.
It's a dance that you can dance with your girl or wife. Dance, dance, dance. Find a pose and stop. Positions, everything in life. You'll find there's no telling when. Fans will stop and go again. Posing, everybody pose.
Now once I was a wallflower. There was no one forlorner. So I went to every party while I sat in the corner. And then one day, a magazine I read.
He said he read.
But he can't read.
It changed my life, for here is what it says. Everybody, you two, can two, down a cute little two. Just join the institute.
You two can play a ragtime piano.
You two can do a Fred Astaire. You, my friend, can be clever no end. And a dollar is all you'll spend. Your friends may laugh. Friends are funny that way. laughter will turn to amazement when you start to play. You two can be the life of the party. You two can make the ladies fall. Don't be a fool. You can do it if you join the chorus. Whoa, join the chorus. Whoa, join the correspondence school.
Why, here comes teacher now, Ruthie.
Yeah, ma'am.
Here's your lesson for today. Take your partner, pose this way. Hold it. Then go to town. Everybody pose on down. Pose.
Hey, Don, here's a wire I just came for you. Here it is.
Okay, thank you. Might as well open it now, I guess. Got nothing else to do. Uh-oh. Chester, get a load of this wire that just came in. It says, listen, McNeil, get this. Stop. Tell Chester Picarero to forget about his razor. Stop. Stop. For his own good, remember what happened to Scarface. Signed, Bluebeard and his gang. Uh-oh.
Oh. Uh-oh. Mystery.
Mystery.
Ooh.
Oh. I wonder, huh? Here, here, quiet, stop it. Get me all jittery here. Let's have an orchestra number. Let's have something a little different. Let's not have anything spooky now. Even that tuning sounds spooky to me now, this morning. Razors disappearing right from under your nose. Under your locker. Gosh. Let's have classic time, Walter. Let's have a delightful little intermezzo, should we? By Granado.
Thank you. Walter. Now we want to hear from Miss Annette King. Hello, Annette.
Hello, Don.
How are you?
Oh, just fine. You look mighty nice yourself this morning, you know it. I like that tie.
Giving me the stuff this morning, aren't you?
I like that tie.
You do?
What is it, knit or crochet? It's crocheted, isn't it?
It's not knit. It's knit. I mean, it's, I don't know. My wife bought this for me.
Oh, it's nice.
Good
I like
taste,
her
huh?
taste, I should
yeah.
say.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm set in right this morning. Say, Annette, how about whiskey, we and soda tomorrow? Huh?
Tomorrow. We're going to Omaha, Nebraska.
Omaha, Nebraska. Well, today, supposing we take up the subject of men and women, huh?
All right. Today, suppose I take women and you take men.
All right. Women usually take men, though.
Oh, quiet. Here's one about women. Yeah. God made women without a sense of humor so that they could love men instead of laughing at them.
Something, isn't it? Well, all right, I'll take men. Men are persons who occupy 1/8 of the closet space at home, the other 7/8 being taken up by their wives, who always say they have nothing to wear.
Oh.
Huh?
Oh.
Pretty.
Of course, I don't know about that.
No, you don't know about the husband
no.
and wife part,
no.
but you've heard women say they have nothing to wear, haven't you?
Yes.
Do you know why women usually have nothing to wear?
No.
Because they listen to the radio.
Why? What does that do?
Well, you listen. You've heard these announcers. They're always telling you, ladies, please send in your name and address.
Oh.
How can they have anything to wear?
Oh. No.
The breakfast table. Won't you just sit back and take it easy and have your first memory time of the week with us this morning? of our breakfast clubbers, Mary Larkin Cook of Anderson, Indiana, sends in a little poem called Who's Who Among Us. Besides poetry, there's a great deal of truth in this. To everyone's sorrow. Who stands by when joys would bless? Everybody. Who stays right there in time of stress? Nobody. Who smiles at us when fortune smiles? Everybody. Who rushes in to bear our trials? Nobody. Who places boulders for our feet? Everybody. Who tries to save us from defeat? Nobody. Who selfish favors seek to gain? Everybody. Who from harsh words would ever refrain? Nobody. Who thinks that we should pay his tax? Everybody. But who turns the stone to grind our axe? Nobody. Now it looks like we're coming to the conclusion of this portion of breakfast around the breakfast table of the air. Chester Picarero still has two or three new wrinkles there in his forehead, worrying about that razor that was stolen. I think everything's going to be all right, Chester. Tell you, I've got a few helps for you here. You can look around, and if the whiskers on the razor, when you find it again, are brown, I've got a list here of the fellows who have brown hair. And if it's red, of course, it's Lindley. And if they're black, it's Baker, Cooten, or Cran, see? And if it's curly, it's Wheeler or Spiegel. And if there are no whiskers on it at all, why, that's Jack Boss. Okay, here we go now. Last call for this portion of breakfast with Walter Blaufuss and the boys, and it goes to your feet.
No matter how far away you are, we've got a lot to do. Breakfast Clubbers for you.
March time around the breakfast table. The March, Lorraine. Thank you. Jack?
Yeah?
You know, I've been looking over the paper here this morning.
Oh, yeah.
You seen it yet?
No, sir, I haven't seen it.
You saw yesterday's paper, didn't you?
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah.
You know the travel pages they have in there?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
You know those ads? Come to the land where the sun spends the winter.
Yeah, where's my music going?
Huh? Oh, no wonder you weren't following me here. Come to the land where the sun spends the winter.
Yes, sir.
Where it's always 70 degrees.
You're still looking for your keep that up a minute, will you?
Yeah, I will. Come to the land where the winter spends the sun. I mean, the sun spends the money. Sun spends the winter. Oh, it's lovely down there in the tropics. How would you like to go across the broad Pacific? Where every day is a... Oh, you got it now, huh? Okay. A smiling day. On the beach at Waikiki.
Woo!
Oh, you're not the guy that took his razor, are you?
No,
took your
sir.
Music. Well, the same guy took your music.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Who took your music?
I'll
Come
tell you two
to
days
the land
from now.
Where the sun spends the winter. Come to the broad Pacific. With the girls with the lovely grass skirts are playing and flitting around the beach. Come with the moonlight. Is dreamy on old Hawaii. Oh, Jack, what do you think of when you think of Hawaii? Never mind things.
When you dream about Hawaii, don't forget to dream about the night we met. Will you feel my arms around you? Will memories cling, echoing? I won't forget. Will you hear the rippling waters as they kiss the silvery sand so playfully? Will you hear me say I love you to the tune of steel guitars beneath the stars of what you hear when you dream about Hawaii, dream of me.
Jack, it started out to be a nightmare there, but you changed it into a dream. About Hawaii. You know, some people have written and say, is it true what you say about Blaufus? Does he really eat as much as you say he does? The answer is unequivocally yes.
Not much less.
No, he really gets in there and shovels that food in and has a great time doing it. I mean, Walter is not one of these guys that just goes and sees how much he can eat. Now, let me correct this impression, Walter, I've given you. Walter is a gourmet. He is the gentleman who of the old school who goes finds where the best things of a certain type are to eat and then really makes something out of the meal. That's correct, Walter? Pardon? I have the razor. I have not.
Was that the razor?
Talking about who's that razor. I never ate a razor in my life. Walter, and here's something that'll cheer you up. Methuselah ate what he found on his plate, and never as people do now. Did he note the amount of calorie count he ate because it was chow? He wasn't disturbed as at dinner he sat destroying a roast or a pie to think it was lacking in granular fat or a couple of vitamins shy. He cheerfully chewed every morsel of food untroubled by worries or fears, lest his health might be hurt by some fancy dessert. And he lived over 900 years. Message by Mrs. Shays from Queens Village, Long Island, New York, which we read about Walter has been read. We have not as yet found Chester Picarero's razor, but the time has come to say so long for this portion of breakfast around the breakfast table of the air.
And also to say that it has come to you from our Chicago studios, and this is the National Broadcasting Company.